Hey, friends. Last week, I mentioned that our little niche podcast had passed 250,000 downloads. And I just have to say, the outpouring of love and congratulations from you, our listeners, was unbelievable and completely unexpected. I'm so grateful for you, and I hope that each episode gives you actionable tips on how to take your wedding business to the next level. If you feel like there's anything we should be covering on this podcast, but we're not, I want to hear about it. Send me your ideas to podcast@weddingsforreal.com or send me a message on social media and we'll see if we can make it happen. All right, so let's shift from building a podcast audience to building a wedding business. Neither are easy and both involve making a lot of mistakes. Even the big companies you know well, like The Knot, Wedding Wire, Party Slate, Honeybook, they all had to make the mistakes to grow to get where they are today. On this episode, we talked to someone who created a software that almost everyone in the wedding industry has used or at least heard of. The success is there, but so are the lessons along the way. I'm Megan Gilligan, and let's learn from example on episode 192 of the Weddings for Real podcast. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert, it takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional's safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not-so-glam, and all things weddings. For real. My guest today is Eddie Babbage, founder and CEO of Timeline Genius, which creates beautiful, detailed wedding day timelines, saving you hours in the process. Eddie also hosts a podcast called Wedding Industry Insider, and I was just on episode 104. So you could hit the pause button on this one, add that episode to your queue, and come right back. All right, so Eddie is one of those serial entrepreneurs. Timeline Genius is his third business, and even before officially launching anything, he was built for entrepreneurship.
My first business was taking food out of my fridge that my parents had bought. I probably was like five. They buy the food. This is the best business in the world. Like, the profit margins are through the roof. They buy the groceries. And I went in and I got like American cheese. And I still remember I had like a little butter knife and I sliced it into like four slices and I put it on saltine crackers, put it in the microwave, cooked it, called it nachos, went downstairs and I opened my quote restaurant, and my parents could come down and eat the nachos for a fee. In fourth grade, it was selling Jolly Ranchers, you know, and then eighth and ninth grade, it was selling candy in school, blow pops and Snickers. And I had other kids selling with me. And so it's just my family. My mom, you know, ran a dental practice, owned and operated a dental practice in Louisville.
That's why you were selling all the candy, right? Yeah, to bring customers to her too.
Yeah, it's a family virtuous circle.
Both Eddie's dad and grandfather were entrepreneurs as well. And for Eddie, it's not really about the money. He wants to truly help and serve others. If he can figure out a problem to solve, the success and the money will follow. And that's how Timeline Genius came about.
I was looking to solve a problem. My wife, you know, we got married in 2010, and she was like, wow, when I planned our wedding, that was really a logistical mess. And if you want to help somebody, Eddie, you should talk to wedding planners. This is 2013 when I'm looking for a new project and she's giving me this advice. And that really set me on the path, which now 9 years later, as you know, we're celebrating our ninth birthday. I literally got the idea for Timeline Genius like a gift from the universe, wrapped up with a bow tie, August 28th, 2013. My birthday, 2013, when I talked to Bridget Hornester, who's a wedding planner in Cincinnati, and I asked her, and I started, you know, I was like, what's the most tedious part of your job? And I talked to dozens, eventually hundreds of planners asking that very simple question and hearing over and over that timelines were so important, but so painful. And that was really what started the journey. It is just this really amazing thing to see something, you know, just come from your mind or from the abstract and into being in the world, you know, and to grow. It's really cool.
That is really cool. And when I hear that number and I hear you say serial entrepreneur and you've built, you know, this is your third business.
That is right.
Someone that's listening to this is like, wow, like, gosh, immense success, right?
It all happened overnight, easily, totally too, Megan. Like, I didn't have to work for this at all.
100%.
Never had an issue in my life.
Well, that leads me to a question, which is there one limiting belief that you really had to overcome? Or, you know, we could take it in another direction. And it would be like, if you look back at building Timeline Genius, is there a mistake maybe related to a limiting belief that you made, you could highlight and share with us?
First of all, I love this question. I was just telling my son yesterday, like, we uncovered, like, that there was, like, he had, like, an insecurity. I was like, when you can find insecurities or self-limiting beliefs, that is a blessing. That is awesome. It may not be comfortable to stare in the face of the goblin, but that is so much better than letting that goblin lurk around in the depths of your subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. I always tell him, I'm like, there's like a golf ball, which is like the conscious mind, and there's this beach ball. You know, these are the balls that drive our sort of behavior and ability to achieve whatever. I'm like, you've got the golf ball and the beach ball. And the beach ball, like that subconscious mind, the power or the real danger of self-limiting beliefs is that most of the time we're not shining the spotlight of our awareness on them. Mm-hmm. I told him they're kind of like roaches. Like, they don't want, like, as soon as you turn a light on, I was like, what's roaches? Like, it runs for cover, right? They don't want to be seen.
Yeah.
So I love that you're kind of dredging that up. And I've spent a lot of time looking at those. So yes, there absolutely is an overlap for me where I had a self-limiting belief that actually tied into an issue with Timeline. So the self-limiting belief was around marketing. So I go into Timeline Genius, like I said, I'm like, I just want to find a problem and solve it. And I found that burning, screaming, pervasive problem. And if I may say so, without sounding egotistical, I think we did a good job over the last 9 years, or really in the first 5 or 6 years, of just building a product that did an amazing job. Like, when people use Timeline Genius, not everybody, because you're never going to, like, I mean, there's always going to be somebody who's like, oh no, like, blah, blah, blah. But like, in the vast majority of cases, I mean, the feedback, they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. Meanwhile, I'm so focused on, like, I just want to build this amazing product and I want to support the people when they're using it. I was much less focused on the marketing piece of this. And I had this sort of narrative, again, that, like I said, like when you're kids, you have these beliefs that form and you're not intentionally, you know, necessarily forming these beliefs, and they may not serve you, right? Like, my orientation to marketing was like, you know, it's really all about just building an amazing product, you
and
know,
then
like,
they'll come.
And then, you know, and it's like, people are going to talk, like, people are going to use the service. And if it's good enough, if you can take what used to be a 10 or 15 hour job and turn it into a 30 minute job, like, that sells itself, you know, like, and that's not the craziest thing. And that's really where self-limiting beliefs get powerful, is because they're usually not just asinine, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's based on something. But what I realized is, and I had these sort of like ideas and perceptions, I'm like, marketing can really be like disingenuous. Like, the example I say is, like, you go to the store and there's like a Payday candy bar and they're like, 5 grams of protein. I'm like, come on, guys.
But
like,
it's a lot of sugar.
Right. There's so many people that are doing this sort of like schmarmy kind of unctuous marketing. And I'm like, but what I realized is, wait a minute, is that serving you or not? And the reality was, I needed to readjust that perception and say, wait a minute, Ed, if you want to help people here, you need to market to let them know that you're here. You can't help. You can have the best product in the world. If people don't know about it and you haven't done the work to present it in the right way so they get how much they need it, then you're not only shortchanging, but you're shortchanging the mission of helping people. So that was, and we've really been growing and just kind of seeing, no, just because there are some people that do marketing in a certain way doesn't mean that that's how we have to do it, right? So that was a really powerful reframe for me to give marketing a lot more emphasis and to have the right, because the thing is, again, these self-limiting beliefs, if you at any point of your subconscious, like in your identity, if you have this belief that like, well, salespeople, I'll say this because I know some wedding pros are listening mm-hmm. to us right now, and you've got to have those, well, you know, I'm not a salespeople are like just kind of slimy mm-hmm. and pushy. Like if that's what's happening in your mind, guess what? It will totally, whether you're conscious or not of it, it will totally undermine your ability to do this important aspect of your business.
Yeah, that is so true. And it's so interesting because limiting beliefs, you're right. Like they're formed from things that you absorb and the way that you, your environment, like we're all raised by flawed humans, right? Like no one has gotten this recipe perfected, me included. I was thinking about what you were saying about being small and hearing what your parents say and how they respond to things. And I know I can look back at moments and be like, man, I lost my cool as a mom in that moment. Yeah, and
so how true, Megan.
Yes. Anyway, it's just interesting what belief system we bring to our businesses and how that can hold us back in certain ways from getting to that next level. And I like what you said about like shining a spotlight on it. I used to look at it as like my limiting belief is that inner critic. So that negative voice, that voice that's telling me like, you're not good enough. You don't belong here in this space. And my goal was to banish it, like rid it. And then I've done some intense work on this and through therapy, through coaching, through all the things. And I've learned that like, that's not actually like, that's not the goal, right? Like the goal is to,
I almost did the Steve Harvey. He'll say, how's desk working out for you?
Yeah. But it's like acknowledging it. Right. And putting some thought and energy towards it instead of like, I looked at it as like a weed. How could I pull the weed, get rid of the weed, move on. And that's not. Anyway. Okay. Eddie, I love that. If we could, I want to take a time machine and I want to say we're hopping in the time machine. Eddie gets to turn the dial to what year we're going back to. But in that case, you're going back to a really earlier version of you building this business. And
like 2014-ish, I think.
Yeah, 2014-ish.
So I'm on the path. I'm working on the company. Yeah, early stage. Yeah.
What do you go back? Like Eddie of 2022.
I love that question.
Yeah. What are you telling?
What do I say if I go back to him?
Yeah. What are you telling?
I always have to. First of all, I love this question. I've put it to my friends and thought about it in various contexts vis-a-vis myself. There is one. I'm a lawyer, recovering lawyer, I should say. So in my lawyerly fashion, I'm going to give a caveat, which is I wouldn't change anything about my life because I love who I am. And I realize if I changed anything, if there's a mistake I hadn't made, if I'd done anything different, I wouldn't be who I am. And this is exactly where I want to be. Now, that having been said, mm-hmm. I love the question. And the first two things that come to mind, the first thing would be about marketing. And I realize I already spoke to that, but that is the answer. The first answer that comes to mind for the question.
To speak to your business and put it out there. Like
I would tell that version of Eddie, I would say, look, you need to really focus on deepening your marketing IQ. Just learn, build that skill. Because I think that's another thing Brian Tracy said that I think it's just such a fantastic question to ask periodically as you go through your career. What is the one skill that if I developed it much further would do the most to advance me professionally? Like what is the skill? Like that's a good question, right? And then to work on building that skill, because it's easy for all of us to get caught up planning the weddings or writing the code or whatever you're working, you know, in the business or even working on the business, but you also got to work on yourself, you know, like, and I think I would tell that earlier, Eddie, work on the skill of marketing, like just ASAP, build your marketing IQ and focus on that. The second thing, And did you have a thought that you wanted to? I'll get caught up in just, like I said, I'll just start talking a mile a minute. You got to just jump in. Like Eddie Murphy said that about Stevie Wonder getting an acceptance speech. He's like, you got to cut Steve off quick. Otherwise, the credits are rolling. He's like, I'd like to take all the people in the world, God's children. And he's like, you got to cut me off quick. Like, so no, if you have thoughts, jump in.
I think I did have one thought on what you said about what is the one skill set that if you could perfect, like it could be incredibly beneficial for where you take your life and your career. And it made me think of a story. I feel like this deserves some sort of credit. So I may need to go back and research this to make sure that I credit properly. I heard this from someone else that was telling me a story about, imagine if a group of animals was in a classroom. So you've got an eagle and you've got a bear and you've got a fish and you've got all these different types of animals. And the teacher at the front, they're talking about swimming. And it says, the teacher says to the eagle, like, you know, you're really not doing very well at swimming. Like, you really got to work on it. Yeah. You got to become a better swimmer.
Yeah.
And the eagle is getting all in its head because it's like, oh, I'm not a good swimmer. And like the bear's pretty good. The fish is pretty good. And the eagle
is going.
The eagle is wasting so much time worrying about what it's not good at, but it's not realizing like, oh my gosh, you have a superpower and a skill set that is meant specifically for you.
I love that. And it actually ties to my second thing, but I also want to address it in the context of, you know, again, the Brian Tracy question is, what is the skill that if I, not necessarily perfected, but if I honed, you know, developed significantly more, would do the most to advance my career? You made a great point. And I think two very important points need to be made here. One, that question, when you ask it of yourself, should be asked with an understanding of whether you're an eagle or a bear or a fish, right? Mm-hmm. Because the reality is there are certain set of things that you have a talent for doing, right? And when you ask, like, if you're somebody and you know about yourself that, like, I am just not interested in or into talking on a podcast,
right?
Then you should have that in mind as you think, like, your skill probably is not going to be the podcasting, right? So, you need to have that baked into your analysis of what skill, like what your talents are, your affinities should totally be part of how you answer the question, what skill should I develop?
Yeah.
The second thing is, and this is actually the second thing that I would tell myself, oftentimes we need to ask who, not how, right? That's something I've heard Russell Brunson, Dan Sullivan, like really got in my head, like, if anything, the biggest trap that, and this is not, again, me talking, like this other sort of folks saying, the biggest trap that we fall into as business owners and entrepreneurs is exactly what you beautifully described with that story. We think, I have to be the one to do everything. So I've got to learn how to do marketing. Mm-hmm. I've got to learn how to be the programmer. I've got to learn how to do legal work. And that's a recipe for, and I would actually tell myself that, Megan. I think that's still the weird thing, the challenging thing about business is at a meta level, there are so many seemingly paradoxical and opposing things that you need to follow. On the one hand, one of my maxims in life is if there's something you want to do, find somebody who's done it and get their playbook. On the other hand, you need to listen to what's inside you. 50 Cent, it's so random to talk about Curtis Jacks, but he wrote this book. And really, he was like, when you're on the street, you learn to listen. He's like, that's been one of the things that allows me to be successful is like on the street, if you don't listen to that inner voice, there are no books. Yeah. You can get shot, killed. Like, and he's like, a lot of these people that go up through school or whatever and get to the boardroom, they're not. So it's like, on the one hand, listen to other people. On the other hand, listen to yourself. On the one hand, don't try to do everything yourself. You need to find people that play at the things that you work at. Yes. And honestly, what I would tell my former self and anybody, you need to know something about marketing.
It's true.
Unless maybe this, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe there are other people that are smarter on this than me. This is my own personal understanding at this point is like, If you maybe if you have a co-founder who's living and breathing the same way that you are, that's living and breathing your business, mm-hmm. and they're invested like basically just as much as you, then okay. Mm-hmm. But like if we're talking about I'm going to hire somebody to do my marketing and just completely outsource, I don't think so. Again, how's this working out for you? Because I tried it. I tried just, I think there is a core level, even if it's not the thing that you're really the only, the one ultimately really doing, mm-hmm. you know, it's just too valuable. A baseline level of like financial savvy.
I agree with that. It's just like, I have a bookkeeper and accountant, but I need to have a baseline understanding of my profit and my numbers. And I need to be able to ask questions to better understand it. And I agree. Like, I think here's another thing that I know Brandy Gar and I have talked about before. When you start your business, there's a level of hustle that and you are wearing all the hats.
That's right.
Like you just are. But where I've kind of made it one of my missions as an educator in the industry is to catch a lot of those wedding pros where the hustle has gone on so long.
Yes.
They're still doing all the things. Yeah.
Yes.
Burnout is coming for them.
Yes.
And I want to reach them, and kind of that's where you have to slow things down and say, okay, to get to I had to hustle. Absolutely.
Yes.
I had to do all the things, but to get to the next level, to continue to grow and evolve as a human and as a business owner, that's when you have to say but what am I actually really good at? And then hire for those weaknesses.
I am just put my robe on, you're preaching and I'm in the choir just singing my tail off, because when you say what you say, Megan, and this is part of why I just love talking to you. I've always said that, I feel like we've known each other for a long time, but actually it's been a month or two. But I just love talking to you because you know when you're hearing the stuff. And the stuff is when somebody's been in the trenches and you're doing it, everything you're saying is bullseye. And to bring it full circle, that would be the second thing that I would tell myself. But again, it's weird. There's this paradox, because you're right. In the early stages, I love, we tried to build, we've got this genius feature that is the best intellectual feat I've ever done in my life. We take these inputs for the wedding day timeline and we use it. If I show people the node graphs and the equations, people are what are you kidding? What's going on under the hood to create these timelines is so complicated. And I tried to hire somebody to do it and I couldn't find them. And I taught myself how to code. I was like, I need to figure this out. I'm just going to do it myself. I was doing customer support, in those early days. I need to figure out the marketing because we don't have the budget. But you're right. The very same thing that is a strength, paradoxically, was also a limiting factor. At a certain point, I should have sooner than I did look to say, okay, now my job as an entrepreneur is not to do everything. My job is to put the systems, people in place to make sure that things are getting done in A-plus fashion. And I am the bottleneck of my company. I would go back and preach that to my younger self.
Yes. Same. That's exactly what I would tell myself. And I think if I had to give a generalization, I believe that is one of the number one issues that I see with entrepreneurs in the wedding space, and maybe across, but I know the wedding industry. And I think that that's the biggest hurdle.
Mm-hmm. Really, really resonates with me. And it's hard. It's hard because sometimes you do need to do things yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you have, if you're a wedding planner, your reputation is on the line.
Right.
You're can I trust so much of this? It's really beautiful. I feel we've kind of talked that whole, you put your arms on your chest and you just fall backwards with your eyes closed. I feel like business, I used to think faith was kind of silly. I hate to say that, but I used to be if I just believe for no reason, which is ultimately what I'm hearing people describe, I can just think there's a purple elephant on the roof. Why? What's your reason? I don't know. I just have faith. But actually at this age, I'm no, faith is a powerful, beautiful thing. Faith is that Martin Luther King. You don't have to see the full staircase, but take the first step. some part of you, if you're on the business path, you ain't going to see the full staircase. It's not visible to us.
Eddie, I literally had that quote from Martin Luther King in a presentation that I did just a few weeks ago. Yes.
And it was powerful.
Yeah. It's like, take that step and then figure out what comes next from there. Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Yeah, okay. Well, that leads me to an interesting question I have for you is, as someone that's a serial entrepreneur that has built these businesses and also someone that I see puts a lot of thought into how you've built the business, but also believes very much in mindset and intuition and gut.
Yeah.
How do you approach that from a business standpoint? Are you the type that says, let's create a spreadsheet of pros and cons, let's figure out how to determine with a percentage, like whether this is going to do well? Like, do you lean into your analytical tech brain, or do you lean more towards your gut and intuition when making decisions? I'm just curious what you're going to say here. I have no idea.
So folks should know you're dead right. By nature, I'm a very analytical person. I was a math major. I love the logic game section of the LSAT that everybody was like, I hate this section of the LSAT. I'm like, give me all of them you can give me. I'm like, my brain just works logic, analysis, rigor. Like, that is certainly who I am. But again, things are nuanced, right? I think we as people are very complex. And if we had been having this conversation 15, 20 years ago, I would have been relying more heavily on the analytical part of my nature. And there's real value in that, for sure, being able to think critically and logically, analytically. Bob Proctor, I heard him say something once that really kind of got in my head and kind of captured the way in which I feel like I've evolved on this point. He was like, we come to rely a lot on our five senses and our logical minds, but there's actually this other faculty that we have of intuition, of knowing, just like having that sort of instinct, like that part of me that the moment I talked to you was just like, she's cool, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, it's not an analytical thing. I mean, I can give, you know, reasons, and I think they call that confabulation. Like, you're coming up with reasons to kind of like explain, but like, really the core is like, I just feel something in here when I'm talking to Megan, right? Or you think about an opportunity and you're like, that feels right. Yes. And I have become at this point in my career, much more driven, but much more inclined to like, listen to that intuition, to search for that intuition and to act on it.
I agree. And I struggle when it doesn't feel like where you said you, it just feels like, you know, okay, this is a business idea that I'm really excited about and I want to bring it to life. And it feels right for where I'm at right now. If I don't feel that sense of certainty, I do kind of struggle sometimes, like when there's vagueness around it.
No, I'm with you. It goes, you know, it's weird. I hearken back again to the 50 Cent of the, I can't remember what the book is called, but it's a striking story because, like, I mean, he was born into poverty and, you know, his mother was a drug dealer and she was killed and he didn't have, like, I mean, I'm like, God knows who or what I would be if I didn't have the parents that I had investing and guiding. But I'm like, this dude, like, you know, and he definitely has his flaws. Again, people are complicated, but what he's achieved from where he started, I mean, most people that start where he starts, they're dead, they're strung out on drugs, or they're in jail. Like, and like, he says this, Jay-Z says this, that by virtue of living that sort of life, being, you know, hustling, like in the, you know, dealing drugs, like that you had to rely on this instinct and intuition in a way that I feel like a lot of the people that operate in our circles, Megan, we read books and we put spreadsheets together. Like, if you're in the streets, like, and not that I've ever been there, but like, you're not like, what should I deal with this person? Let me do a cost benefit analysis. But there is value in that. But I've heard, like, both of those guys have spoken very directly to this notion of like, that is a big X factor in their success, is learning to hone that instinct and to listen to it.
Yes. Ah, I love that, Eddie. Okay. Question for you when it comes to daily habits. Are there any daily habits? Because you're a dad. You have two kids. Is that right?
Yes, I do too. Okay. Yeah, 4 and 8.
So you're a dad. You're an entrepreneur. You lead members of your team. You are married. You've been married for 12 plus years at this point. Are there daily habits you've adopted over the years that you feel have helped that perhaps you would share with others? Just as feels like habits is a topic right now that has a lot of interest around it too. Like, how do you start your day? How do you end your day? What's one thing that you do in your day that you feel really serves you? And then alternatively, I mean, honestly, I'd love to ask you, what's one habit that you're hoping to break?
For me, my interstate, if I get my rest, I don't know how many pillars are here, but get your rest. For me, meditation, exercise, drink lots of water, eat really healthy foods, and leave drugs alone. And I'm including caffeine, despite the fact, and this maybe ties to a temporary habit I have that I will be kicking soon. Like, caffeine's a drug. And like, I know a lot of people are going to like get up and smash their headphones right now. Like, this is my position. I can just say for me, Megan, I turn into Superman when I'm doing those things. And I'll add like another little pillar, which is what Jen Sincero, who wrote You're a Badass at Making Money. If you haven't read it, go check it out. It's awesome.
Love that book.
She talks about going to the spiritual or mental gym, meaning feed your mind with positive stuff. If you're just reading CNN and seeing the latest story about that 8-year-old who's paralyzed now, like, I'm like, oh, you guys are killing me.
Yeah,
like, you got shot. I'm like, are you killing? Like, there's so many problems in the world. And I'm not saying tune out, but I'm just saying feed your mind. Like, if you do those things, Megan, like, those are the habits. Like, eat right, hydrate, get your rest. I certainly endorse meditation for me, just giving, like, it's like a sort of mental cleanse. Feed your mind positive things. Like, you're going to feel so, it's simple. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
But that's the answer for me. Like, when I do those things, like, put my cape on and there's no crash.
Yeah.
I'm my best dad. I'm my best aunt. Like,
oh, that's inspiring, Eddie. I think I love Jen Sincero. I've read her Badass Habits. I love James Clear.
Awesome.
I've read Atomic Habits. Love that book too.
That is fantastic.
You know, my biggest piece of advice that I'd add on to what you said is, someone listening to this, I know I fall, just like it sounds like you do as well, I fall out of integrity with these habits pretty regularly.
Absolutely.
And it's getting back into the ones that, you know, are going to serve you well, but not always. I think, at least me, I'm an Enneagram 3. So I'm like, okay, I've fallen out of integrity with my habits. That's it. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep. I'm going to drink all my water. I'm going to do my workouts. I'm going to eat healthy food. I'm going to do all the things. And then that's too much, like, because I'm a human and it's hard to get right back into everything for me personally.
Sure.
So it's, can you start stacking them, right? Like, can you start like, okay, I'm going to work on water for the next 3 weeks. And then after that, then I'm going to work on, you know, going to bed a little bit earlier. For me, one of my goals, Eddie, I'm going to acknowledge this on the podcast. One of my 2022 goals was to break my phone by my bedside table habit. And I haven't done it yet.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I haven't even thought to make that a habit that I shouldn't break. Like, I have the habit. I never even thought about, wait a minute. As you're talking, I'm like, wait a minute. I need to question whether or not this is good policy, because it's not. I'm like looking at that blue light in the middle
100%.
Of the night.
Oh,
so you're
the
ahead
one,
of me.
So. Oh, I'm the one reading that CNN article at 11 p.m. at night about the 8-year-old.
Right before I go to bed.
Yes. Yeah. And then checking my email first thing in the morning. And it's totally true. So I love those habits. I think it's just interesting to hear what works for other people, where they are finding joy. And that also when things aren't as easy, because I don't want to put out episodes where it sounds like I have all of this perfected, and if you do it too, then, you know, you will.
Oh, and
And you're not giving that at all.
I said I'm literally having caffeine right now, which
I know.
I've like these last few weeks have been so busy and I just kind of slipped. And it's so easy to miss a workout. It's so easy to do something that in your mind, the long term. But, you know, two other quick thoughts. One that's worth mentioning. I love and feel very empowered by the fact that I know that my inner state ultimately drives my outer reality, mm-hmm. and that I can control to a very large degree my inner state with these habits and other things. But these habits, if that's in my power, whether or not I work out and do the other thing. So I find that like empowering and emboldening. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, and this is kind of that nuance of like, this is a little paradoxical. On the one hand, I would never want to overwhelm anybody, be like, you got to do all these things. Like, no, like, you know, like I'm not doing all those things right now. Right. Like that's the aspiration. There are times when I get in that zone, and when I get there,
powerful.
It reminds me, this is the answer. Like, but I'm usually not getting all of those things nailed perfectly, though I really do try. And, mm-hmm. But the other thing that's kind of like paradoxical is, I find, I had this observation years ago, good things go together and bad things go together, right? Like caffeine jacks up your sleep at night, right? Like, and it's going to make you spend more money. Eating unhealthily doesn't help your sleep. And it makes you like, I find that in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like when you get like, guess what? Exercise makes you sleep better.
Makes
right?
You
like
eat healthier.
Exercise. When I'm drinking caffeine, I'm less prone to get up and do my meditations because mm-hmm. I find just good things go together and bad things kind of go together.
That's really interesting. I haven't heard that before. Feeling that. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Huh. Wow. I like that, Eddie.
Yeah, and the more you meditate, the less draw you have to mm-hmm. a sugary treat that you shouldn't have because you're more centered. Like mm-hmm. it all kind of fits together.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. I want to take it to a business question right now as an outsider to what you have built as a supporter and lover of Timeline Genius. It's amazing, but something that I see in our industry right now, like really immensely in 2022 is overwhelm from wedding professionals of all categories, right? So we had 2020, we were shocked and in survival mode. 2021, we were trying to figure out how to evolve and rebuild businesses. 2022 has been extreme busyness and serving clients and walking around feeling, you know, a lot of raw emotions, dealing with difficult situations, trying to manage everything that is on our plates, both personally and professionally. And I think Timeline Genius is this phenomenal product that is meant to save hours of time and reduce overwhelm. But if someone isn't currently using it and they're hearing, well, you need this platform for this. You need this platform for this. You need this to solve this problem. You also need to make sure that you have your social media content planned out through this new tool that is available. And you need to, you know, make sure that your gifting strategy is set up to be automated and your emails are doing this. I think entrepreneurs are feeling like, I can't handle one more thing. And what I'm wondering, just as a like on one entrepreneur to another, is what's your take on the overwhelm, like the tech overwhelm that is probably something that is one of your biggest hurdles to solve, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, I mean, that all resonates with me. And there is a little bit of a, I'm grateful because we all went through, I mean, that pandemic, wow. Like that was so crazy. I mean, weddings to a very large degree just weren't happening, you know, for an extended period of time in broad swaths of our country. And now we kind of have, I feel like, you know, it's like from the ice water into the fire, you know, like we have this issue of like, people are so busy and understandably overwhelmed. And I think wedding planners, you know, in particular, there's so much stress that inherently goes along with planning this hugely important day where you don't get do-overs. And you didn't get into wedding planning because you're like super into tech, right? Mm-hmm. Necessarily. So I could see the tech piece of this in particular being overwhelming. I have, I guess, some high level thoughts and also some very practical thoughts that I think can help be overwhelming. The first sort of high level thing I want to say to folks is, yeah, business isn't easy. You know, there's no easy, and you're going to have to juggle a lot of stuff. I know I do, and I'm sure you do as well, Megan. And I think out of necessity, given the world we live in, and given how powerful technology is, you're going to want to embrace this notion that you need to invest some amount of time in educating yourself on the tech that's out there for your profession, because it's like the Steve Jobs thing. He's like, they did this study to see what the most locomotively efficient animal was, like which animal could go the furthest with the least amount of energy. And it was the condor, you know, and the human being was like way down on the list. But then somebody went back and looked at where would the human being fall if he or she were on a bicycle? And we blow every other animal on earth away because it's the right tool. That's what technology is. Technology is a tool that allows you to work at a higher level, efficiency, level of professionalism, the value and experience, which is ultimately what you're doing, right? You're delivering this experience to your clientele. Well, there are tools that will allow you. And if you're just running on your feet and somebody else is on a moped or in a race car, that's just not a fair thing. And it's not to evoke like an imagery of competition, but rather you need to avail yourself of these tools. Now, what I tell people is I would look at the various work streams in your business. And the first thing to be mindful of, this is human nature. It probably feels more overwhelming in your mind than it actually is in reality. The reality is none of these tools, because all of us software provide, like we're mindful of our audience and we know we need to make this so easy for you to learn.
Yes.
It's so, and I can tell you, because so many people that get on board with Tomology are like, Eddie, I just thought it was going to be more difficult. It was so easy, right? And it's not just about Tomology. I am speaking, this is not evangelizing Tomology, so I love it and everybody should use it, you know, but this is about helping the people listening manage tech. And the first thing is you want to embrace it. The second thing is just look at the various work streams that you have. It's not like really there are 50 like software tools out there. They're really just like a handful that are dedicated to people in your profession. And what you should do is get on the phone with people at these companies. Don't feel like you have to learn it all yourself. That's one of the biggest things. If I could tell people, like, can you come to Timeline Genius and figure it out on your own? Yeah, we made it very user-friendly and you can do that. You know what's a lot more efficient? Get on Brooke Bowen-Schulte's calendar, okay? And just let her get to know, like, that's what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. We're people, my job, our whole team's job is to serve. Get on, call the people at whatever software company, like reach out and say, I want a guided tour. Let them teach you. And then you can see, no, this doesn't really look like something I need. Or, oh my gosh, like that's the travesty, Megan. Yes. There are people that don't even know what these tools do. They've never just taken a few minutes, like carve out 2 hours of a day and just stack some of these demos.
I like that.
Demos.
I love that. I love that idea of like block out some time.
So worth it. It's so worth it.
And I absolutely agree with what you're saying, that sometimes just where it feels overwhelming in your mind, because I can think of things on my personal to-do list or like things I want to tackle that I'm like, oh, that is going to be a lot. Like that's going to take me so long. And then when you actually like dive into the project or make the phone call or do whatever is required, you're like, huh, that was actually so much easier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I can't believe I waited so long to do that.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not, it's just, for me, you know, with Timeline Genius, Megan, it is as simple as seeing a demo. Mm-hmm. You'll know, like most, I got an email, you mentioned Brandy. I think this came from an event we did, like where I just did a demo of Timeline. And this planner was like, I was literally in tears when I saw the demo. Like there are people I know, because I've been doing this for 9 years, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of planners that like have come on. I've seen the transition where like at Wedding MBA, they drop out of the booth and they're like, I'm busy. I'm like, look, if you're a planner, can I just get you to watch this for like, they watch and they're like, oh my God. Like, are you serious? Like, just take the time to learn about these tools a little, like get a guided tour. It's so powerful because you can't, what you can't afford. Here's the irony, Megan. These are the tools that are to help you not feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You can't afford, if you're doing 20 weddings a year, I'm just making these numbers up. If you're doing 20 weddings a year and you're spending 5 hours on each of your timelines, which honestly, a lot of people out there, if they're really doing customized detailed timelines and more, you got to factor in the revisions and the back and forth emails. Like I know plenty of people. In fact, the average in my research was 10 to 15. Let's just say that it's even like, let's say it's 5 hours. Like that's 100 hours of your time every year that's going. What if there's a way to do your timelines, which on average people using our site do, 65% faster? Wow. So instead of 100 hours, you're doing that work in 35 hours. You cannot afford, I say this without coming from a place of self-interest, mm-hmm. like you cannot afford to forego a 20-minute call where you get to see and learn how this tool works if it's going to potentially cost you 65 hours a year.
I know.
That's how you get unstuck with the overwhelm.
I know.
With the right tools, you know? Yeah. That's a big part of it.
Oh, I love that. I was just curious because I hear that in my community. I see it in free Facebook groups when people talk about tools like, oh my gosh, I love Timeline Genius. I love Rock, Paper, Coin. I love, and then I see some of the comments of like, oh, I can't handle one more thing right now. But
those are exactly the people who need it the most. Ironically.
Preach it. Yes.
Yeah. That's the irony. Like if you don't have time to take 20 minutes and learn about Timeline Genius, well, there are probably other systemic things they should probably talk to you and get some coaching.
Yeah.
But I, for a fact, if you're doing your timelines the old fashioned way, like that could be the one thing that you do that frees up the other time you need.
Yeah.
I've seen it time and time and time again.
Amazing. So Eddie, as we're wrapping our episode together, I'd love to hear what's next for this business that you've built, like this thing that started as an idea to solve a problem. What comes next?
I love talking to you, Megan. It's cool. I'm like, I just get to answer these fun questions. So to kind of give people a sneak peek here, something that I'm really excited about is, and it's all kind of going back to give some, like, bring it for full circle to that childlike part of me that's always like creating things. Like there are these moments where like you see something, I think as an entrepreneur, where I'm like, I see it, right? Like I saw like people are trying to create these timelines. And the problem is every wedding is unique. They've got these templates. And now it's like, well, my template has a 5:30 ceremony, but this is 4 p.m. ceremony, this wedding. So I got to just, my template doesn't have a first look. I got to build it in. My template's Catholic, but this is Jewish. And you make all these changes, right? And there was this moment where I was like, wait a minute, what if we could ask them for all these key inputs up front and then have them click a button and like, and of course I validate that by talking to planners like, oh my God, you can do that? That'd be amazing, right? Like the other sort of epiphany that has emerged over the years is around the execution piece of the timeline. Okay, so almost all of what we've done, except for I would say the text reminders, everything else that we've done with Timeline Genius has been focused on taking this long, tedious process of creating a detailed timeline, customized timeline, and making it much easier to do and allowing you to put forth a much higher level of professionalism as you create the timeline. The next piece of this is going to be, okay, now that you've created this amazing timeline with radical efficiency, how can we help you execute it? Because what I know, Megan, is most planners are still, even if they did their timeline on Timeline Genius, they're printing it out. They've got their PDF. They've got a clipboard. And they're literally checking items off. And they're like, wait a minute, where's my clipboard? Yeah. You know, and then they're like, wait, what page am I on?
Oh my gosh,
page 3 or page 7, right? Like, and then they're like, wait a minute, the shuttles are 10 minutes late. Let me check all these off, change these times, and let me go tell everybody. I'm like, okay, stop the madness. I see as clear as my hand in front of my face, there is a better way. And Timeline Genius moving into this execute, like literally having an execute tab where you can have your mobile device out, your smartphone or tablet, and you can shift things around and you can send out a one-way blast to your vendors and say, hey, I shifted everything back, which takes 2 seconds now because it's not scratching on a piece of paper. I sent out like a blast and hey, everybody, the shuttles are 10 minutes late. So I shifted and they can text one and say, I got it. You're like, okay, these three people didn't get it. Like, I still got to go touch them. But like, I'm like, this is so exciting that we live in this time where we have these devices, these mobile devices. And honestly, when I started Timeline Genius, you know, 2013, people were not as ready. It's kind of like how Netflix started off mailing DVDs. Like people weren't, they were like, yeah, but like, I don't know, but I think people are ready. Like the time is right to move, to revolutionize the execution of the timeline.
Amazing. I'm so excited for that feature. I think I heard you talk about that in my group and I thought like, oh yes, this is like, you know, round whatever for solving a problem that our industry really, really has. And I love when you describe it because I can feel you're like, yes, the excitement of it.
For sure.
Well, Eddie, if someone wants to connect with you after this podcast interview or has a question, where should we send them?
If you want to message me directly, you can send, I'll just go ahead and give my email here. I'm Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, at timelinegenius.com. I would encourage anybody who's interested in Timeline Genius to just go to the timelinegenius.com homepage. There's a 60-second video there that I would encourage folks to walk and watch. And if you want to go a little deeper, you click product and select demo. There's an actual demo where I talk through the product. And I would say, please, if you're, I mean, everybody should know their ideal client and we know ours. Mm-hmm. If you're a wedding planner, you know, not to say, look, we have photographers, we have venues, we have DJ, we have all corporate planners. We have a lot of people that use Timeline Genius, but I just want to say, send a little direct personal message out. If you're listening and you're a wedding planner and you're feeling that overwhelm and you're serious about your craft, right? Not to knock anybody that does one or two weddings a year as a hobby. And they just like that, that's cool. And Timeline Genius can help you too. But the people that over the last 9 years, time and time and time again, that I see that are like, oh my God, when they see Timeline Genius are the people that are serious about their craft of being a wedding planner. They realize how valuable their time is. And if there's a better way, if there's a way for them to save time and deliver a higher level of professionalism, they want to do it. Like if that's you, get involved, like check, send me an email, go to the homepage, but give Timeline Genius a look and a try.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Oh, Eddie, I love this conversation so much.
Me too, Megan. I'm so grateful to you. I'm really grateful that we connected. And like I said, my intuition was firing positive messages to my brain from the very first moment that you and I started talking.
I felt the same way. Big Timeline Genius fan and big Eddie fan as well. So thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll include a link to all of the resources in the show notes. And Eddie's so right. If you're feeling that overwhelm and you know that there's probably a better way, but you're struggling with trying to figure out how to get hours back into your life, and not just a few, you absolutely should check it out. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, Maggie.
That was Eddie Babbage, and you can find him online at timelinegenius.com or check the link in the show notes. Thanks, Eddie, for coming on, and thank you for listening. And if you have thoughts or questions about this episode, let's connect. Join us in the Weddings for Real Facebook group or find us on Instagram. We're at Weddings for Real. Tag me or DM me because I'd love to hear from you. That's all for today. As always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site for wedding planners, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and we'll see you next time on Weddings for Real.